Death isn't the worst thing that can happen to you. I know that now. I've learned it the hard way, trapped in a fate far crueler than mere death. You might think I'm being dramatic. Trust me, I only wish this were some exaggeration or a bad dream. But it's not. It's reality. My reality. And if you listen, I'll share it with you. At this very moment, I'm saying all these words only in the silence of my mind. Outwardly, I remain a mute, vacant-eyed drone, giving no hint of the person screaming inside. But I assure you, I'm in here. I'm living proof that in this galaxy, there are worse things than dying. Because I didn't die when I should have. Instead, I was saved, if you can call it that, and turned into something else. Into a servitor. I used to see servitors all the time in my old life, shuffling about on mechanical limbs, blank-faced and obedient. I'd pity them, or more often ignore them as part of the scenery. Now I had joined their number. The irony would be funny if it weren't so horrific. They call it servitude imperpetuis, in high Gothic eternal servitude. A fate reserved for heretics, criminals, or anyone the Imperium or Adeptus Mechanicus decides needs more than a simple execution. Believe me, I would have preferred the execution. I am a servitor, a half-human, half-machine drone, supposedly mindless, supposedly obedient and empty. The mind wipe and lobotomy should have erased who I was, leaving behind just enough to follow orders and shuffle along. It almost worked. Almost. But here's the twist. I still know who I am. I still remember everything. Somehow, some way, something went wrong during my transformation, and the result is me. A servitor that isn't quite as mindless as it should be. To this day, I don't know what exactly malfunctioned. Perhaps a machine spirit in the surgery cogitator faltered, or the lobotomization needle missed its mark by a fraction. Maybe some cruel god wanted me to stay aware and suffer. I'll never know. All I know is that I should have been wiped clean, and yet I wasn't. Imagine being a passenger in your own body. You can see, hear, even feel to a degree, but you can't control anything. Your arms move, but not because you want them to. Your legs walk without your say-so. You try to scream, but no one hears you. Maybe your vocal cords have been cut, or maybe the only sound you can make is a monotone compliance code. You're locked inside your own skull, watching your body perform tasks like a puppet on strings. That's my existence now. Fun, isn't it? No, I wouldn't wish this on anyone. But the Imperium didn't ask for my opinion. They seldom do. How did I end up like this? That's the story I need to tell, because I wasn't always a mind-trapped cyborg. I used to be a person, a regular, breathing, thinking human being with a life of my own. I had a name once, Joran Kell, though it hardly matters now. I doubt anyone calls me by it anymore. Now I'm just Servitor Unit 49 Beta. To them, or maybe not even that, perhaps just another piece of equipment. But I remember my name, I remember me, and I remember exactly how I lost everything that made me human. I lived on a forge world, a planet-sized factory, where the air tastes of iron and the sky is tinted with the red glow of furnaces day and night. Every hour was marked by the hammering of colossal forges and the hiss of steam. There was no true silence or darkness. The great manufacturum stacks belched fire around the clock. We inhabitants scurried like ants among giant machines, often little more than serfs to the Mechanicus overlords. It's a harsh place to live, but it was the only home I knew. I was just a menial laborer in one of the manufactoria, another cog in the great Imperial machine. I hauled supply crates, maintained assembly lines, drudgery, but honest drudgery. And I was alive. I was free in my own small way. At least I controlled my own thoughts, my own limbs. That seems like such a small thing until it's gone. The day it all went wrong, I was doing the same thing I'd done for years, moving crates of machine parts in Foundry Section 17 during Shift Gamma. The air was hot and thick with the smell of lubricants and ozone. My back ached, my lungs were full of metallic dust, just another normal day under the red domes of the forge. I remember pausing for a moment to wipe the sweat and grime from my eyes. That's when it happened. Thunderous bang. The floor lurched beneath me and a blast of heat slammed into my side, knocking me off my feet. I hit the steel deck hard, ears ringing, vision swimming. I struggled to understand what had happened. An explosion? A malfunction in one of the plasma conduits? My heart was pounding as red emergency lumens flashed across the manufactorum. Sirens wailed a split second later, the harsh klaxon of a machine spirit in distress. Sparks rained down from broken cabling above. I could smell burnt promethium and something acrid, probably scorched flesh. People were screaming, groaning. Some were just gone, turned to char or buried under collapsed equipment. My head was spinning, but I was alive. Miraculously, I only had some scrapes and the wind knocked out of me. I pushed myself up amidst the rubble and confusion, trying to get my bearings. All I could think was, what the hell was that? I stumbled through the haze, instinctively moving to help a fallen co-worker who was pinned under a chunk of metal plating. I barely managed to lift it off him when I heard the pounding of heavy boots. Not the soft boots of fellow laborers, but the clang of ceramite and metal. Through the smoke, dark, armored shapes appeared. Skeetari soldiers, the Mechanicus's own cyborg enforcers, were marching in with rifles raised and visors glowing. They barked orders in bursty Binharic cant I couldn't understand, securing the area with methodical precision. Before I could even explain or understand, a pair of Skeetarii grabbed me. They slammed me against a wall and clamped manacles around my wrists. I remember shouting, babbling that I didn't do anything, that I didn't know what happened. If they heard me, they didn't care. I was dragged away through the smoke and debris, half delirious and choking on fear. The last thing I saw of the factory was the broken bodies of my co-workers and the gutted remains of the machine I'd been tending. It all faded into hazy red as the Skeetari hauled me into the back of an armored transport. The next few hours were a blur of terror. I recall being thrown into a holding cell, a cold metal box barely large enough to sit down in. My head was pounding, ears still ringing from the explosion. I waited, alone in darkness and confusion, trying to piece together what I could possibly be accused of. Eventually, two armored arbitrators, Imperial law enforcers, yanked me out and marched me, shackled and bruised, into a makeshift courtroom. Or perhaps it was an office they had repurposed on the spot. It smelled of machine oil and incense. There were only a few people in that room. I saw the forbidding outline of an Adeptus Arbites judge, clad in black carapace armor embossed with the Aquila, a grim helmet masking his face. Beside him stood a robed tech priest of the Mechanicus, Mechadendrites, writhing slowly under his red robes, his eyepieces glowing a dim green. My heart sank at that sight. The presence of a Mechanicus priest meant this was about to get far worse. The judge's voice boomed, amplified by a vox grill. "Prisoner Joran Kell," intoned the judge. "You stand accused of gross negligence, tech heresy by incompetence, destruction of sacred machinery, and manslaughter of Imperial personnel." My blood ran cold. They truly thought, or decided, that the explosion was my doing. I stammered, choked out a protest. It wasn't me. I haven't done anything. My words echoed uselessly. The judge did not so much as tilt his head. The tech priest next to him let out a burst of static-laced binary and then spoke in a rasping electrotone. The purity of the machine has been tainted by fleshly fault. The price must be paid. The judge raised a hand for silence. He pronounced sentence in a cold, final tone. Under imperial law and by the authority of the Adeptus Arbites, you are sentenced to servitude in perpetuis. Your physical form and service are forfeit to the Adeptus Mechanicus to recompense for the damage done. May the Emperor have mercy on your soul, for none shall be found in this world. It felt like the floor dropped out from under me. Servitude in perpetuis. The words hit me like a hammer blow. They might as well have been a death sentence. In fact, this was worse than death, a fate from which death would have been a release. My knees buckled and I sobbed, outright sobbed in front of them all. I remember crying out, babbling, "Please, no, I'm loyal, I'm innocent, Emperor, please." A gauntleted fist struck my stomach. The arbitrator to my right silenced me with a brutal punch. I collapsed to the floor, gagging for air. Above me, the judge's face was impassive. The tech priest's eyes, those cold augmetic lenses, whirred and focused on me with what might have been disdain or pity, or just clinical indifference. "The sentence stands," the judge declared over my choking sobs. "Let the heretic be made to serve." I was dragged away once more, my pleas and screams ignored as if they were nothing. In that moment, I fully understood. No one cared that I was innocent. The truth didn't matter. The Imperium needed someone to blame, and I was convenient. On a forge world, the word of a tech priest outweighs the word of 100 common laborers. If the machine cult demanded a punishment, then a punishment would be given. I was it. What followed was a nightmare procession. I was handed over to the Adeptus Mechanicus. Numb shock overtook me as they loaded me onto a grav sled like so much cargo. I remember glimpses as I was wheeled through shadowy corridors lit by flickering lumen strips, past chanting robed figures and clanking machinery. The smell of incense and hot metal grew stronger with every meter. At some point, a needle pricked my neck, an injection of some drug that made my limbs go heavy and limp, but left me painfully aware. I couldn't even struggle as they brought me into a sterile chamber, filled with gleaming instruments. It was an operating theater bathed in harsh white luminance, the air reeking of antiseptic and burned oil. Mechanical arms hung from the ceiling like predatory insects. Surgical tools, saws, drills, syringes lay arrayed on metal trays. Racks of cybernetic limbs and components stood by the walls, surrounding a single steel operating slab at the room's center. I was hoisted onto that slab by a pair of existing servitors, blank-faced cyborg thralls, whose eyes were dull and devoid of any mercy. They handled me with the same indifference one might handle a sack of parts. Heavy metal clamps snapped shut around my wrists, ankles, neck, and waist, pinning me spread-eagle and immobile. I realized then I was already naked, my tattered work clothes likely cut away. My skin prickled in the cold, chemical-scented air. A figure loomed into view above me. A tech priest in blood-red robes, face mostly obscured by brass implants and a rebreather mask. It might have been the same one from the trial. I wasn't sure. My vision was blurred with tears and drug haze. Dozens of mechadendrites and servo arms extended from his back and shoulders, each tipped with a different tool. Saw blades, injectors, pincer claws, drills. The tech priest's voice came out in a metallic monotone. "Specimen secured, proceeding with sanctification of the flesh." Sanctification? They thought this was some sacred rite. To them, it probably was. A sacrament of steel and surgery, offering my human flesh to the service of the machine god. I tried to scream, to beg one last time, but my tongue felt like lead and only a faint croak escaped. Without ceremony, they began, A servo skull drone hovered above, recording data with soulless, blinking lenses. The tech priest intoned a droning hymn in Binharic as his tools descended on me. I remember him reciting in low Gothic and machine code a litany about the weakness of flesh and the glory of machinery. Something like, "The flesh is weak, but the machine god is strong. By the Omniscia's grace, let this flesh be purged and made pure through steel." Each phrase uttered in that emotionless tone marked a new violation of my body. The first cut came from a whirring blade that sprouted from a mechadendrite. It spun to life and plunged into my chest. White-hot pain exploded through me as the saw carved a line through skin and muscle across my sternum. I howled, or tried to. The sound that came out was raw and animalistic. Two stubby mechanical limbs clicked into view, holding a curved metal plate, a heavy augmetic chest panel. They positioned it on my opened torso, covering me from collarbone to abdomen. Through the haze of agony, I realized they were bolting it directly onto my bones. A high-pitched drill shrieked. The vibration rattled my ribcage as it bored through flesh and bone. Each new bolt sent a jolt of sickening pressure and pain flooding my nerves. I could smell burning bone and seared blood as they literally nailed the augmetic plate onto my skeleton, an exoskeletal support for what was to come. My vision swam with tears. I begged hoarsely for mercy, for Emperor's mercy, but my pleas drowned in a gurgle as blood rose up my throat. A faceless med servitor swabbed it away and injected something into my carotid, a cocktail of drugs to keep me alive, conscious and painfully aware. Next came my left arm. Mechanical clamps locked around my shoulder, and a new saw blade arm descended. I felt the teeth grind into my shoulder joint. There was a horrible crunch as it hit bone. Then a rip of tearing sinew as my arm was severed from my body. Blood sprayed hot across the table and floor. I lost all feeling in that arm. It was simply gone. My mind reeled at the wrongness of it. I must have been screaming. The rawness in my throat later told me I had been. The Medicae Servitor pumped another dose of stimulants into me, forcing my consciousness to stay afloat atop a sea of pain. Through swimming vision, I saw another servitor present the tech priest with a replacement limb, a heavy bionic arm made of iron and brass. It was far larger than my old arm, ending in a pincer claw and a built-in tool appendage. The priest's drone arms moved with precision, threading bundles of wires, synthetic nerve filaments, into the bleeding stump of my shoulder. They attached each cable to what remained of my nerves, soldering flesh to machine. The stench of burning nerve endings joined the metallic tang of blood in the air. Every time a wire fused to my nerves, lightning pain flashed down that missing limb, as if my brain still thought it had fingers to feel the torture. My body convulsed uncontrollably, limbs straining against the restraints until another electric jolt from the table itself forced me into stillness. At last, the dead weight of the bionic arm was bolted onto the new chest plate, locking into mounting points they'd drilled. I had a new left arm, a monstrosity of metal far too heavy, pulling my left side taut against the clamps. They repeated the horror on my right arm. Saw, tear, solder, bolt, a grotesque rhythm. My world dissolved into waves of blinding agony and garbled mechanicus chants echoing in my ears. By the time both my arms had been replaced by ungainly augmetics, I was half delirious, my throat shredded from screaming. My legs were next. They dissected me piece by piece. I dimly felt the vibration as a circular cutter sawed through my thigh bones. A hot spray across my waist signaled the removal of my right leg, then the left. The pain by then was distant in my mind, my sanity mercifully beginning to fracture, until another stim injection dragged me cruelly back to awareness. Great piston-driven prosthetics were affixed in place of my legs, clanking mechanical limbs built for labor, not grace. I heard the clang of metal as they attached them to my hips and spine with more support struts. My body, what remained of it, was now a grotesque scaffold of steel plates, tubes, and sparking wires amid raw red flesh. Somewhere in that cacophony of steel and pain, they took away other pieces of my humanity. I hazily recall a cold implement removing what was left of my manhood, a needless appendage for a servitor. In their eyes, I would have no identity, no gender, no desires. I would never again be a man in any sense. At some point, mercifully, I lost the strength to scream. I hung limp in the restraints, a ruined husk being methodically refitted and rebuilt. The tech priest's chant never halted through it all, a droning prayer to the Omnisire as each organic part was replaced or augmented. To them, this wasn't murder or torture, this was perfection taking shape. Flesh was fallible and they were improving me, piece by piece. Finally, the figure above me leaned in closer. Through the blood loss haze, I noticed a thin, snaking mechadendrite unfurling from beneath the tech priest's robes. It slithered toward my face. At its tip glinted a small surgical blade and a cluster of needles. Weak as I was, terror seized me anew. I tried to shake my head, tried to plead with my eyes, if nothing else. A clamp whirred and gripped my skull, holding it absolutely still. The last thing I remember of that surgery was the feeling of something cold and sharp forcing its way up my nasal cavity, a sickening crunch of bone as it pierced into my skull, and then a white flash of unimaginable pain deep inside my head. In that instant, something essential was cut loose. It's impossible to describe. A silent snap somewhere in my mind, like the snipping of the strings that held me together. My vision flared pure white, then black. I think I finally stopped thinking. I think, for a while, I truly died. I don't know how much time passed after that. It could have been hours or days. For a long while, there was nothing but void. If I dreamed, I do not recall it. Then, sensation. A jolt of awareness. My eyes, at least one of them, snapped open. The other gave only a dim red haze. Evidently, it had been replaced with an augmetic optic. Sounds filtered in next. The steady hum of machinery. The distant echo of monotone voices. The world came back into focus by slow degrees. I was standing. Upright, locked in some kind of metal harness. My head felt foggy. I tried to move, but my body did not respond. Not the way it used to. Instead, I moved without willing it. My limbs jerked mechanically as some unseen impulse brought them to life. A distorted voice crackled somewhere to my side. Servitor Unit 49 Beta, initiate primary run. The words resounded dully in my ears. In response, a burst of cold impulse flooded my brain. Some implant delivering orders directly to what was left of my motor cortex. My clanking piston legs lurched forward at that alien command. I stepped out of the harness and took a couple of heavy, stomping steps. I had no control over those steps. I had not decided to walk. I hadn't even thought about moving. And yet my body obeyed that external command. Cold realization washed through what was left of me. The surgery was over. I had been converted into a servitor. And the programming was running me now. Lift object, proceed to waypoint, another command echoed. I felt my new clawed arm, absurdly large and powerful, whir to life. It clamped onto a nearby crate, one I hadn't even consciously noticed until my body targeted it. and lifted it as easily as if it were empty. My legs trundled forward with a heavy, gear-grinding gait. I was carrying out their orders like a wind-up toy soldier. Inside, I was screaming, but on the outside, I had no voice. In a panic, I fought to assert control. I tried to halt my steps, to drop the crate, to do anything other than fulfill that order. My mind was frenzied. Stop! Don't do it! This isn't me, I roared inside. My body gave no acknowledgement of my rebellion. The crate remained firmly in my claw, arms locked in an unyielding grip. The only sound I made was a flat, toneless emission from my vox-augmented throat. Compliance. The word spilled out of me against my will in a dull machine slur. Hearing my own mouth produce that word nearly broke me. It was spoken in my voice, yet not my voice. A dead, emotionless version of it, confirming my obedience. Somewhere in front of me, a tech adept with a data slate nodded in satisfaction. To him, I was just a successful output. Servitor unit functional. Not a trace of the screaming, desperate soul trapped inside. My processing, or rather the servitor programming in my brain, must have passed whatever diagnostics they had. I was removed from the harness and led, more like directed by remote pulses, out of the lab. I trundled along behind the tech adept down hallways I didn't recognize. I wish I could say I was formulating a plan, searching for an escape. But what could I do? I couldn't even control my own damn feet. Thus began my new existence. They sent me to a labor crew in another sector of the forge. I joined a column of other servitors, some mostly human-looking, save for surgical scars and dead eyes, others hulking brutes on clattering treads. All of us marching in unison to our assigned workplace. We marched through cavernous halls where titanic machines pounded and roared. Overhead, crane arms the size of hab blocks swung components to and fro. Rivers of molten metal flowed in open channels beside our path, casting an angry orange glow on the procession. The air was thick with acrid fumes and the ceaseless clang of industry, a steel inferno that had become my entire world. We must have been quite a sight, an assembly line of the living dead traipsing through the smog and sparks of the factory halls. At one junction, I caught sight of our macabre parade reflected in a polished brass coolant tank, a shambling train of pale flesh and metal. Among them, I saw a figure with a half-metal face, one eye replaced by a glowing red lens, and the other blank and lifeless. Arms of brutal steel, and a torso encased in iron. It took a jolt of revulsion to realize I was looking at myself. I was designated as a multitask servitor for general heavy labor, a testament, perhaps, to whatever twisted logic left more of my brain intact. That part of me that remembers how to feel despair also remembers technical skills I never had before. They'd implanted knowledge during my conditioning. I found myself able to operate loader rigs and input commands at cogitator stations I'd never seen before, as if I'd been doing it my whole life. It should have been fascinating, but it was horrifying. They had programmed me like a machine, filling my mind with rote instructions to replace whatever they erased. Day in, day out, if days even meant anything in the eternal glow of the forge, I toiled. My servitor cohort and I lifted enormous artillery shells onto conveyor belts, our hydraulic limbs making light work of the weight. We welded armor plating in assembly lines, our implanted knowledge guiding our tools in precise patterns. We repaired broken manufactorum equipment under the supervision of tech priests, who watched our every move for errors. My old overseers would have been thrilled at my improved productivity if they could overlook the whole lobotomized walking corpse aspect, that is. We did in hours what used to take me days. Such is the efficiency of an unthinking machine. And through all of it, I was conscious. a silent witness locked behind my own eyes. I remember every second of those first days with crystalline clarity. I had nothing but my thoughts after all. As time dragged on, that clarity turned to a timeless haze. Weeks or months, perhaps years, slipped by in an endless mechanical routine. One task blended into the next, one pseudo-day into another, with no change save the occasional malfunction or relocation. I had no way to measure time inside my prison. Only the ceaseless rhythm of labor marked its passing. I barely needed to eat, aside from nutrient paste pumped into my gut tube at designated intervals. I barely needed to sleep. When my organic parts grew too exhausted, they'd dock us into recharge stations for a few hours, standing like statues in neat rows until our metabolic levels were restored. Sometimes, between assignments, tech priests would perform maintenance on us as if we were factory equipment, tightening a servo here, replacing a damaged augmetic there, scraping away necrotic flesh and slathering sacred unguents on the interface points. I have hazy memories of hanging from a ceiling rack while mechadendrites probed and tinkered inside my skull. They might have been adjusting my conditioning or repairing circuits. I felt nothing but a brief flicker of static in what remained of my brain. Once they were satisfied, it was back to work once more, as if I'd merely been an engine tuned up for the next shift. Then, back to work. The other servitors around me showed no sign of inner life. Their faces were slack, mouths sometimes hanging open. Many had eyes replaced with glassy optics, others stared with a vacant, glassy gaze. Some would occasionally mutter to themselves strings of half-words or bursts of binary code meaningless babble from broken minds. The engine seers called it mind lock, when a servitor's fragmented brain loops into confusion. In one chilling instance, a servitor beside me on the line began to softly speak between its routine responses. At first, just a whisper, then louder, a pleading whine, "Help! Help me! Help me!" over and over. My own frozen soul wanted to recoil or reach out somehow, but before I could even process the horror, an overseer noticed. A tech priest strode over and impaled a thin shock prod directly into the base of the malfunctioning servitor's skull. A quick jolt and the poor thing went silent and limp, promptly hauled away by maintenance drones for reassessment. I shuddered inside. What remained of me did, anyway. That could easily be me if I slipped up. I learned quickly after witnessing that. I had to hide any sign of my own remaining awareness. If I let myself act out of line, if I hesitated too long, or moved in a way not commanded, they would notice. They'd fix me, and fixing me would likely mean wiping out whatever ghost of me still remained. I didn't want to be reduced to what I saw in those others, or worse, to truly die inside while my body kept moving. On one occasion, as I labored to realign a massive gear assembly, I dimly noticed a group of human workers assisting a tech priest, nearby rare, since most labor was relegated to us servitors. Among them, I spotted a face I knew, Bran, my old workmate from the very shift where my nightmare began. I had pulled him from the rubble that day. He was alive, sporting a cogwheel-branded patch over one eye and a pronounced limp, but alive. He was helping the tech priest calibrate a console when suddenly his gaze fell upon me. I was standing there holding a steel beam in place as ordered. Our eyes met, my biological eye and my one red bionic lens staring vacantly as was expected of me. And I saw his expression change. First confusion, then horror. Perhaps he recognized a scar on my cheek or the shape of my face beneath the metal. I wanted to cry out to him to confirm his dreadful realization. But I could do nothing. I simply stood there, silent, face slack, like I was supposed to. "Joran," I heard him whisper under his breath, barely audible over the clamor. The tech priest barked a command at him, ordering him back to work. My friend cast one last stricken look at me, a mix of sorrow and revulsion in his eyes, then returned to his task. He didn't say another word. What could he have done? There was no saving me. We both knew it. Funny, we used to talk about grabbing a drink after our shift. Now I doubt he'd ever want to see what's become of me beyond that one horrified glance. As the days dragged on, I sank into a well of despair deeper than I thought possible. In my rare moments of respite, locked in a charging cradle and staring at nothing, I would recall the life I had before, my small joys, my freedom to simply move my hands when I wanted, to speak my mind. Now I had nothing. I even began to envy those who had died in that explosion. Their fate was clean, finite. Mine was an endless living death. I caught myself praying in pathetic, silent pleas for any power in the universe to release me. The God Emperor, the Omnissiah, any merciful deity, if such things even care, to let an accident befall me that even my augmetics couldn't survive. Perhaps a crane would collapse on me, or an electrical surge fry what was left of my organic brain. Every time I was sent to a perilous task, repairing a volatile plasma conduit, handling unstable chemicals. A twisted part of me hoped it might finally kill me, even as my programmed subroutines worked carefully to avoid such damage. I was a prisoner, desperate for an execution that would never come. I recall one such assignment vividly. A plasma reactor in a sub-level overheated and threatened to breach. I was dispatched alongside a team of servitors into the reactor chamber to engage the emergency venting protocols manually. The heat was searing. Even my dulled flesh felt like it was on fire, and warning runes blazed across my vision from my optical implant. Radiation made the edges of my sight hazy. I trudged forward through that hellish glow, body unfaltering even as my skin blistered. Part of me exulted. This is it. This will finish me for good. But even as that hope flickered, my mechanized arms were already turning valves and rerouting plasma flows with inhuman precision. Within minutes, the crisis was contained. The reactor's roar subsided, and I still stood, half my organic skin charred, but my augmetics fully functional. They marched me out and simply replaced the burnt flesh with grafts and more cybernetics, patching me up like a broken tool. I had walked into almost certain death and come out the other side. No heroism on my part, just the stubborn durability they had built into me. I was not allowed to die. To the tech priests, my fate isn't even tragedy, it's redemption. They believe that through the sacrifice of my will, I've been granted a final chance to serve the Emperor and the Machine God. In their doctrine, surrendering my humanity is a mercy and an honor, saving my soul from the sins of my flesh. What a sick joke. Eternal slavery cleanses nothing. If anything, it's only damned me further, trapping whatever soul I have in a state of perpetual penance that I never asked for. If there is any saving grace, it's that my pain is my own. No one knows that I'm in here, screaming silently. No one hears the dark jokes and bitter sarcasm of my thoughts as they order my body about like a puppet. In a way, it's good they don't know. Because if they did, they'd cut out what's left of me without a second thought. And so here I am, day after day, year after year, for all I know, performing my duties as a servitor, the faint ember of my mind flickering inside a metal shell. They wanted to make me a mindless machine. By some cruel twist of fate, they failed. Instead, they created a prisoner who can still feel the walls of his cage. I started this tale by saying that death isn't the worst thing that can happen to you. Now you understand why. There are fates worse than death, and being turned into this thing is one of them. I am proof, pitiful, broken proof, of the Imperium's unforgiving truth. Perhaps fittingly, I have retained one last human faculty, my sense of irony. It's a small spark of who I was, but it's mine alone. I crack bleak jokes in the silence of my mind just to stay sane. A servitor with a soul, a contradiction that would make any tech priest recoil in disgust. Perhaps the Emperor is laughing at the twisted humor of it. Perhaps he has abandoned me entirely. More likely, the universe simply doesn't care. If you're expecting a triumphant escape or a happy ending, you won't find it here. This is my life now. If you can even call it life. My body moves and works and bleeds for the Imperium, and my mind sits imprisoned, making quips to itself to stave off madness. I wish I could end this monologue with some grand victory or even a final release, but that's not the truth. There is no escape for me, no grand conclusion. Perhaps one day whatever flicker of self I have will finally gutter out. Maybe I'll become as empty as I'm supposed to be, just another shambling automaton. Part of me almost hopes for that oblivion, for the bliss of true ignorance. The rest of me recoils from it, clinging desperately to these last tatters of me, no matter how painful they are to bear. I endure, a cog that hates its own turning but never free of its pitiless cycle, a man inside a mechanism. I have no voice to scream my anguish, only this voiceless monologue echoing in the private, endless hell of my skull, a prison no one else will ever see. In the end, I'm left only with the question that no one but me will ever hear. Can you still call this living?